The scripture reading for this morning will be 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 13. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit.
Good morning. It is a delight to see you, and we are thankful that you are here. And it is our joy to be together this morning to honor and glorify the God of heaven. We're thankful that you've chosen this opportunity to be with us. We say that especially if you're visiting with us. We had an informative time during the Bible class hour. If you were not here, then that's unfortunate because you missed us going over the year and looking forward to next year. And we are excited about it, and we're thankful to God for the opportunity to serve. We're thankful for you and look forward to working together. The church at Corinth provides us a very good basis for our day today, some lessons we can learn from them, some things we can apply as we move and look forward to our working together. I suppose I don't have to tell you that the church in Corinth had problems, a great many problems. In fact, it's almost a problem per chapter, just about. It's difficulty, it's challenging. It also is the church where some of the greatest chapters in the Bible were written to. There are some wonderful, wonderful texts in the book of Corinthians for the things that they teach to us and the way they help us. Chapters 1 and 2, they suffered with the issue of division. There were those who have chosen leaders to follow, and some of those were not Christ. In fact, they've divided up Christ to be just like one of the others. I am of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Paul, I'm of Christ. And so Jesus is not distinct or different than any of those other leaders, and some have put him in the same category. In chapter 3, you'll read the Apostle Paul saying, "Brethren, I wanted to write to you, but I couldn't because you're carnal. You're not spiritual." And he said, even now, there's division, there's fighting, and these things are manifestations of carnality. And he couldn't write to them as under spiritual people. Sadly, they were not. Chapter 5, there is a man who has his father's wife, and he says the church is not saddened by it. In fact, he says they're not grieved. They're puffed up, and they ought to mourn such an event. And he is very sad about that decision. Chapter 6, they're taking one another to court for the smallest matters. It's in that great chapter that Paul says, why don't you rather suffer the wrong? Why would you rather not be defrauded than to harm the church of the Lord? Chapter 7, they have questions about marriage. Chapters 8 through 10, they're again squabbling over meat offered to idols and liberties and rights and that sort of thing. Chapter 11, they're abusing the Lord's Supper. In chapters 12 through 14, they're arguing over gifts. In fact, they have taken the position that my gift is better than your gift. In chapter 15, there are even people in Corinth who do not believe in the resurrection of our Lord. Christians, members of the Lord's body who don't believe in the resurrection, and Paul addresses that there. It's in that window, chapters 12 through 14, that we have the great chapter on love, the more excellent way, chapter 13. It's also in this section from which we draw our sermon and text this morning, chapter 12, because when Paul is trying to help them understand who they are, what they should be doing, and how they should be responding to each other, he uses the body as an analogy to describe the church. And it's that we want to talk about this morning and ultimately to help us as we move forward. By working together, we'll move forward. The Apostle Paul says this, first of all, the saints are the same. And that needs to be remembered. It needed to be remembered in Corinth, but it would be helpful to be remembered by any member of the Lord's body. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, or been all made to drink into one Spirit. It's reminiscent of chapter 10, where Paul talks about Israel all passing through the cloud and through the sea, and they were all baptized under Moses. Well, in the New Testament, we are all baptized into one body by the teachings of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit provides the revelation, and through the gospel, we are all baptized into one body. It's the same revelation that the Spirit made known, the mystery revealed, 1 Corinthians 2. You didn't obey a different gospel, did you? Didn't you obey the Acts 2 gospel? The Acts 10 gospel? The gospel to the Jews and to the Gentiles? The one that Peter preached on both occasions? Isn't it the same gospel? To get into Christ, we must remember we are the same. And that's what Paul wanted them to remember. There was only one gospel that went forth from Pentecost. There was only one gospel that was revealed to the Apostle Paul. And there was only one gospel that he preached in Corinth, Acts 18:8. Many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Paul says, we are all baptized into one body. You see, we're the same. Same salvation, same Savior, same body. But then, in chapter 12, the Apostle Paul says this. There's a sense in which the saints are not the same. Notice verse 14, beginning in chapter 12, he says this. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And the ear shall say, because I am not of the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? There is a real sense, once you get beyond the one body, but inside of that one body, there are many members. In that regard, the church is not the same. The Apostle Paul wanted the saints in Corinth to know that. Everybody is different within the body. There are differences. Ethnicity, gender, age, to say the few things that make us different. But inside of your body, which is the analogy being used, there's a foot, there's hands, there's eyes, ears, nose. And so that's Paul's analogy. Here in chapters 12 through 14, they're arguing over gifts. My gift is better than your gift, and that then makes me better than you. No, all of the gifts, Paul says, are different, yes, but each one is useful to the body. They're not the same. There is one body and many members. The very next point Paul makes is, each member then contributes something. The foot doesn't need to be the hand. The hand doesn't need to be the ear. The ear doesn't need to be the nose. In fact, he asked the question, if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Sometimes it's possible, Paul says, to understand. He tries to help them understand. In the middle of all of this chaos and fighting and difficulties, they needed to understand that every member contributes something to the benefit of the body. He goes on to say, with regards to that, the whole body then is how God is glorified. Verse 18 of chapter 12, Paul says, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. The psalmist speaks of the hearing ear and the seeing eye, and he says God made them both. David says, with regards to himself being formed in the womb, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The human body is a marvel unto itself. The DNA, the parts, the way the whole thing works together, it is truly a marvel. Paul takes that same language and says, God did that. God placed every member in the body. Note the last phrase, as it pleased him. Ultimately, what must be remembered by every member of God's body is that this is about God. This is ultimately about glorifying him. If you want to hear God go on, if you will, kind of like more like what we would do when we are really proud of something. We are really pleased with something. When we're really happy with something, we kind of talk about it in glowing terms. For God, that's the church. When you hear God speak in glowing terms about something, you read the book of Ephesians. And I understand we've had an outstanding class back there on the book of Ephesians going on, and it's been a great, great study about that book. But the content of that book has so much to say about God's work in producing the church. It's described the manifold wisdom of God. You just think about that for a moment. You want to see God's wisdom put on display? Look no further than the church. Oh, I appreciate you might go outside and look at the sun and moon and stars. And you might marvel at the creation, how it manifests God's glory. In fact, if you read Psalm 8, you will read in glowing terms about an angel, at least as I understand it, an angel peering out over heaven, looking at the creation and turning to God and asking, in light of all of that, what is man that you're mindful of him? But that's precisely the point. All of that is secondary to God's being mindful of man. And if you want to know what God was doing for man, it culminates in the church. It is the mystery of God revealed, the mind of God shared, and the wisdom of God displayed. It's the church. And here in Corinth, that glorious bride of Christ, and coincidentally, what a description. The bride of Christ? That Christ is married to the church? He'll present her without spot and wrinkle and blemish. That he laid down his life for her. That's the church. The Corinthian brethren are ripping her asunder. They are destroying and tattering the glorious bride of the Christ, the manifold wisdom of God. And Paul says, God set the members. God did that. In the body, as it pleased him. There is something that all of God's saints must remember. The church is no afterthought. The church is no trivial matter. The church is no light thing. It's the glory of God. In fact, Paul says, it's where God is glorified throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Ephesians 3:20 and 21. Now, as Paul continues with the analogy of the body, verses 19 to 23, he begins to talk about the body, and he says that the members in the body that we think are less comely, he says we actually put more honor upon those. The ones that we think would be less than honorable, those we make abundantly, and we shine them and we take great pains with them. In that section of scripture, he makes these points that the members are secondary to the body. While there is one body and every member fits, the truth of the matter is members of your body can be lost and your body continue. You see, the members are secondary to the body. The body is what's important. Well, if you'd make that spiritual, the body is Christ. That's what's ultimately significant. And while the members are useful and absolutely necessary in a very real sense, they contribute. Your body and the body of Christ will get along without members. There is no man, woman, boy, or girl. There is no individual. It's what makes the Lord's church the Lord's church. There is no individual that can say, without me, the church don't go. Somebody told me, I was preaching somewhere, they said, man, you're going to break that thing. They weren't talking about here. I was somewhere going to town on something. The church, listen, the church will get along without us. That is the harsh reality. We are important as members, but the body is where God has placed the import. All members are part of the whole. All members are needed. And those which seem to lack, we should, and Paul says we do physically, pay special attention to them. Now, why all of this about the body? It's the next several verses, verses 25 to 27. Paul says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, verse 27, ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Three things, Paul says, no division. Why? Well, that harkens all the way back to chapter 1 and verse number 10. That you should be of the same mind and of the same judgment. Why all of this unity within the body? There'll be no division. One of the saddest things, I don't know, you've probably heard about people with conditions where the doctor says their body has turned on itself. Have you ever heard that expression? Where the body turns and works against the body? The some cells are not accepting the work of other cells, and now they're competing and fighting and they're attacking one another, and the person can do very little about it because internally what ought to work and function as units and unity are now enemies. It creates havoc in the human body when it doesn't work together. Paul says these things as God put in place in the church, there'll be no division among us. But then secondly, not simply avoiding division, but that there would be great care. He goes on to say, actually, closeness. So that when one member suffers, everybody feels that and suffers. And when one member is honored, every member is honored and is thrilled about that event. Your physical body and mind certainly illustrate this point very well. You hurt a part of your body, and everybody and every part of your body pays attention to the pain. You do something to harm you, and it again can be one of those small, seemingly insignificant parts. I don't know if you've ever rounded a corner without the proper shoes on in the house and kicked that baby toe on a corner. Have you ever done that? Now, how much thought do you generally in the course of a day give to your baby toe? Well, let me ask this. Do you have a different name than baby toe? I don't know if that's the proper name for that. But that little one down there on the end, you hit it and every member pays attention to that one little bitty toe down there on the end that you and I generally don't care a whole lot about, don't even talk about. But when we stub it, the brain, the eyes, the ears, the hands, everybody is engaged. How much more for people? How much more for us knowing and caring about one another? Let's do this as we go forward into 2016. If one member hurts, let's all hurt with the one member. And if one member is honored, well, let's honor. Let's rejoice over the one member. Avondale has many members by way of application then. There are a lot of members here. Some like to eat. No, I'm just kidding. I won't comment on every one of these pictures. There's just a lot of members. And we couldn't be happier about all the members here. And those many members, as the Apostle Paul says, are all of the body. Every member. There's some application coming. Don't know how they got in there. Let's make some application. As the Apostle Paul points out, we are all the same because of Christ. We are. And what a blessing it is. There are no special Christians. There are no different Christians. We're all Christians by the blood of Jesus, baptized into one body. But we're not all the same physically. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, people use the word diversity and they talk about the Lord's church and they're generally surprised. Your congregation is mixed, somebody asked me one occasion. I said, yeah, we got men and women. How good is it that we have so many differences at the exact same time that we are all the same? How wonderful it makes for the family. But each member is necessary and every member contributes. One of the saddest things would be if you are a member here and you don't feel necessary. It would be so sad if you left with the impression, well, they don't need me. Well, nobody will miss me. Nobody, and there's nothing I can do. That is just not true. There's no part of the body that's not necessary. There's no part of the body that can't contribute. Absolutely, we need you here. And if 2016 is going to be what we want it to be in the Lord and in His service, every member is necessary because every member glorifies God. There are things that certain parts of the body does that other parts don't do. It makes them all necessary. There is no people, there is no person here who is a non-essential. We absolutely need everybody. And through unity, care, closeness, the body works best. Friends, we look forward to 2016. We really do. We want to make it. We want to make us better. We want to improve our relationship. We want to improve our closeness. We want to improve the inner workings and the unity and all of these things. But to do that, friends, we need every single person, every member of the body. You are an essential part to the success and the moving forward of this congregation. And friends, please see yourself and understand the whole body fitly framed together glorifies the God of heaven, and we can do that best when we work together. By working together, we will move forward, and we thank God for that. You know, the Christian this morning was listening to some preachers preach on GBN the other day, and they were talking about the Lord's church, and one of them just asked the question. I thought, wow, I've never asked that. I don't suppose, at least not that way. What a good question. He said, is there any legitimate reason not to be? Is there any reason not to be a member of the Lord's church? Is there any reason you could think of that you wouldn't want to align yourself and be a member of the blood-bought body of Jesus Christ? The one we can read about in Acts 2, the one through which God is glorified, and the one He purchased with His own blood, that body, that church. Why not? Why not be a member of the Lord's church? What a great question. Why not? Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. John 8:24. He is. I am, he goes on to say repeatedly in the book of John. Repent of your sins. Admit, acknowledge, own. I've lived for myself. I thought like Paul. I was actually doing things contrary to the name of Jesus. I was living for me. I have sinned against the God of heaven. Repent of that. Change your mind. Change your heart. Change your direction and course of life. Jesus said it's absolutely essential. Well, sadly, you'll perish. Luke 13:3. Confess the name of Jesus. Align yourself with Him. Raise your hand, if you will. Speak out loud. Let the world know, I choose God. I choose Jesus. You can find me on the side of God. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Confess His name, Acts 4:12, Romans 10:9 and 10, and be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38, 22:16, and a host of other passages. Friends, if you'll do that, then God through Christ will add you to His body. You will then be a member in the body of Christ and thereby able to glorify the God of heaven, work with His people, and work for His cause. Friends, if you haven't done that, we invite you to do so. If you are His child, would you look back on your 2015? Consider your membership in the Lord's body. How was it? Do your own self-introspection. Think about your contribution. I said you're needed, and it's true, but did you behave and act and live that way in 2015? If not, then friends, let's look forward. Let's be strengthened by you as we move forward in this next year. Subject to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.